you for the setting out. I thank you for all these people that love their community and that are here to serve it and to be a part of it and the decision-making, Lord. Just please give us the wisdom to make good decisions to guide our community, and we love you and we thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take your seats. And would the secretary call roll, please?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Coates.
Present.
Kendrick.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky. Lyon. Meeks.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Shock. Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Yorgi. 9 present, Your Honor.
Okay, let's record show. We do have a quorum. And next item on our agenda is approval of the journal. So hopefully you've had a chance to review the meeting minutes from last time. What's your pleasure?
Judge, motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Okay, motion second. Any additions or deletions or changes? Hearing none, all in favor of approval as presented, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Journal's approved. Next, tab number 2 is the county officer's report. We always start off with the sheriff. Sheriff, do you have a report?
Yes, sir. Our numbers look good for the county these last few months, and we're very proud of that. For the month of June, the average head count at Unit 1 capacity is 118. We have 151. At Unit 2, the capacity is 218. We have 104. Female capacity is 88. We have 75. And the average head count of juvenile, our capacity is 16, and we have 9. The average ADC inmates housed is 11. Total numbers of calls to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office is 1,638. The number of violent crimes and domestics is 89. Numbers of thefts and criminal mischief, 48. We had 114 animal calls, and the animal citations and warnings we're working on, I think it's an anomaly here. Out of 114, it shows no citations and one warning. So I think there's an issue with this on that. But I do have, we are looking at. The reserves, our reserve team, put in 618 hours for the month of June. Criminal Investigation Division, we assigned 38 cases, closed 24. And our transport total trips was 87 this month for a total cost of $13,699. And that will be the end of my report, unless you have some questions.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Next, let's go to Treasurer Scott Sanson.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me to statement, summary statement for quorum courts, January 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2025, tab 2. County General Fund, $1,005,633,786.31. County Road Fund, $2,008,670,265.94. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $4,726,938.68. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,524,315.37. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $2,125,220.42. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $988,169.56. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $3,081,838.84. ARP Revenue Replacement Fund 1006, $6,665,903.76. Turn me to page 2. We talked about this a little bit last month, but as you see, we're out gaining 2024 quite a bit. That's due for the payment from the Department of Corrections for housing state inmates that come in, and as we've talked about before, a million of that was stuff that we anticipated in 24 but actually got in 25. So that kind of skews that chart a little bit. On page 3, sales tax for June was $1,256,984.64. That's 6.81% above June of 24. I made a few calls on this. We are about 3% higher than comparable counties for this month. Don't know if, like I said, we may have had one of these businesses that we've done the rebate stuff for buy extra things, but we'll keep an eye on that. We're currently 3.22% below 2024. If you'll turn me to page 4, total tax collection through June, $7,316,794.01. We're at 51% of projected of the $14.3 million. Being halfway through the year and at 51% of projected, I fully anticipate us making the projections for this year. And finally, on the last page is our one-month moving average versus our one-year moving average versus our three-month moving average. As you can see, the three-month moving average has come back and joined. It's actually just slightly above the one-year moving average, and the one-year moving average has started to trend up. So that's always good news. Are there any questions about any of the numbers we've gone over? I'd like to make just one comment, if I could, Judge. Some of you may have seen today that CPI numbers came out on inflation, and they were a little bit higher than anticipated. I'm going to try to put together a full report for next month. You know, I think the chairman of Budget Finance, Mr. Lehowski, last week kind of talked about the budget process and kind of when we're going to start that. I'm going to try to have you some good inflationary numbers before that starts. So we'll be anticipating that for August. Thank you, Judge.
And just to point something out on the sales tax revenue being 3% below same time last year.
Once again, that has to do with that anomaly from January of 24. If you come back and take that roughly about $425,000, $450,000 out, that was really out of line in January of 24, then we're talking about a positive increase from 2024. But like I said, that one, when you have a number that kind of jumps out of line with the rest of them, it can kind of mess a chart up pretty quick. But glad to have it, of course, you know. But we feel great about where we are. If you look at that page 5 there, and not to get too deep into this, but if you look at page 5 in that red line, which is our one-year moving average, you can see the plateau that January number created. Okay, it jumps up high in January of it actually jumps up in January 2024, and it falls off in January 2025. And that's, like I said, we know what that number is, or roughly what it is, and it's just working around it at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Treasurer Sanson? Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. And our county clerk, the report is available as always. Anything to add? Next, let's move to ARP and Road Report. Administrator for ARP and Roads, Tom Anderson.
Thank you, Your Honor. If you'll turn to page 5 of the ARP report, I think it highlights we didn't have a lot of expenditures this month. In the courthouse, we just processed just under $32,000 on the remodel there. We'll turn to page 6. Worcester wastewater is $24,660, and then Mayflower wastewater, and that's engineering, is $49,000. Right. We still feel pretty good, I think, with the exception of one area, a project we're going to spend your money on now. We're going to be busy with him before we're ready to bid for him next year.
Any questions for Mr. Anderson?
This report is no asphalt new report. We have started our tape seal process of the two-phase payment treatment program we started last year. First comes with oil, going to cracks, followed by real fine chip seal kind of gravity, and then 5 days a week later they come back to the micro surface. It's very hard to call right now to see what's the final seal on the road. They have one more road, I believe, left. It's Merrick Road for the first phase. And they did that and made it out here this afternoon.
Good.
And they started this morning on the micro surface at Barrel, South Barrel, and Rocky. Those two roads up tomorrow, and then we will do Shaw Bridge today. That process should start, should end sometime next week, whether it's any. They're moving pretty quick this year, too. We worked real hard this year. We had some complaints, I guess, about lack of notice last year. The contractor is supposed to put out flyers at each house along each road before they start working and advise everybody delays. Obviously, that doesn't catch the people not on the road that travel through the road. So we worked hard to get it out on the radio, the newspaper, and social media, and then COVID. To my knowledge, we didn't have any complaints or notice about the road being temporarily slowed down. It's about a 15-minute wait at max, but for some people, that's the reason. And they get angry and upset like they did last year. That's called shared travel. But that's gotten much better this year, so we're proud of that. The Bolden Hill Bridge project is done, except for striping. We're waiting to get through with all these cape seal projects and the stripe collar. We finished that up last week. So, any questions? That's my vote.
Any questions? It's a busy time of the year. Also, you didn't mention television. We did some television today. Hopefully you've been getting those code red messages, the emails and texts. If anybody asks you about them, that's really geared toward what Tom said. You know, we require our contractor to put door hangers on the homes of anybody who lives on that road, but by definition, we're choosing roads for this Cape Seal pilot program we've put together that are our long corridor roads, our long through roads. And so those people are, most of them using the roads are not on those roads. And so while all in all, any delays are just minuscule compared to like a major road crew reconstruction for weeks or whatever, but if you go through a road on the day they're doing that, you're going to have to sit unless you just catch a pilot car just right, because it's one lane at a time and you got to wait to be taken through with a pilot car. And it can be 15 minutes. I think a time or two was even longer than that last year, depending on, conditions and where the next turnaround is that they can run a pilot car from. And but it's really worthwhile. We've seen, I was asked actually by the reporter today, how's it going? This is year number two for our pilot program. And we've seen nothing to dissuade us from continuing that. Still too early for us to say, yeah, we're going to do this forever. And asphalt overlays are not going away. They're never going to go away. This is just another tool and toolkit, just to refresh your memory, so that we don't have to let our goal is to never let the Merritt Roads or the Ottos or the Rocky Points, Barrel, to never let them get in the worst half of their life, where you've pretty much just got to suffer through 3 or 4 years of worse and worse, and everybody hitting potholes and patched areas before you really justified falling in there with a lot of big money to rebuild the bad areas and then overlay all of it. So this is really, even if you have to wait 15 minutes, in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing like a rebuild, which we have ongoing as a normal part of operations anyway. But that's your goal, is that if we can keep that road, even for one time, one cycle through a Cape Seal, even if we couldn't do it twice, it would be worth it, because we've avoided that expense of a major rebuild on a long road, 5-mile road, 7-mile road. That's our goal, and we hope to be really proud of that. You should be proud of it so far. We haven't seen anything to dissuade us from that, and we're very discriminatory and selective in the roads that we will put Cape Seal through. And aren't many counties using Cape Seal? but there are no counties using it in the way we are, that to our knowledge. Is that right, Tom? We haven't seen anybody use it in what I've described to you, which is not as a replacement of asphalt, 2 or 3 inch overlays, not as a replacement for that at all. But our good roads, if you catch them, before they get too bad or have some failings in some areas, then you can add that wear surface back, that polymer Tom was talking about, and add those fines. And if you watch the news media tonight, I had them zero in on weathered asphalt surface. And if you recall, once you've looked at a really old road, you can look down, all you see is the big 3/4 inch ag that's left, and all the fines are gone, all the chip, all the sands, all of the fines are out of that, and it's just a matter of time. I should also mention, you don't get a road that weathers to that point unless it was built right in the first place. You know, the base never let go, and you just got that surface baking in the sun year after year after year after year. So anyway, any questions on that? We're proud of it so far. Again, it's just a pilot program we're going to do for 3 total years. By that time, we'll have 3 or 4 years on the first year, and we can decide, was that reduced cost to try to get it back to 90% of its life worth that 60% of cost that it costs us in this county as compared to a 2 or 3 inch overlay for us? And I will say that's different for every county, because the location of the liquid emulsion for Cape Seal is in one area. The chip that you get, that's 1/4 inch chip, that's the right size to mechanically lodge down into the long cracking that you got on your road, to, hey, where's the asphalt overlay coming from on an overlay? So if you're going to compare them, it's really unique for every county. I'm not saying it's a great solution for every county or it's a terrible solution for any county. I'm not saying that at all. But all I know is we see roads baking in the sun, taking salt in the winter, taking ice in the winter, and we can either sit there and twiddle our thumbs and wait on it to go bad and know good and well we're going to have 3 or 4 years of bad calls before it justifies us spending the money y'all appropriate. We think, we're hopeful. We got our fingers crossed. But we'll make the decision based on the numbers. We'll make the decision based on the numbers. So, anyway. Yes, sir. Justice Meeks.
Thank you, Judge. I know at one point there on the website there was a list of the roads, I guess, not necessarily for this pilot program, but for roads that were going to be repaired or scheduled or whatever, and I looked for it, couldn't find it, so it was probably just me. But I would like to see, you know, what we have as far as the road plan, as far as roads that are on the list to either get repaired or chip sealed or whatever, because I know when they posted it online, you know, people were like, well, how do you get on the pilot program? When's my road? You know, blah, blah, blah. And so I just want to be prepared so when people come to me and ask, I can give them a good answer, hopefully.
Sure. Full disclosure, most county judges would probably wince hearing that question, but we look at it a different way. First of all, we took that list down. It was stale. We didn't realize that was out there. Somebody called and said, hey, you don't ever update this list. What are you doing with our tax money? So we hurried up and pulled that down. We don't know who was maintaining that or if we need to maintain and update that. If you guys want that, we'll be happy to put it out there. It does generate some calls. Hey, when are you going to get to our area of the county? Or when are you, you know, you came through and did these two roads and didn't do ours? We get that weekly. We get that. That's just part of normal part of business. And I will say whatever that list is subject to weather, subject to availability of Rogers Group or whoever our contractor is at that time. We share them with the city of Conway, with Greenbrier, with RDOT, the other areas they operate in. So it's a little bit of a state of flux. But really what I relish the opportunity to explain is that we've got just under 900 miles of road. That's 1,800 lane miles. And if we do one in a neighborhood or one in an area of a county, everyone who drives on that wants theirs done. And it forces us to be upfront with them and say, like I told a nice lady last week, Tom and I were both dealing with, that, you know, she was saying, well, it was up in the Merritt Road area. She was saying, hey, are y'all going to do our road? You said when y'all get up this way, which was not language I would use, it's her paraphrase, that and do Merritt Road, you would do our road. I asked Tom to go out there, and he came back. He said, Judge, it's one of the best chip seal roads we've got. There is absolutely zero wrong with that road. Like, nothing. Well, it turns out I think we've got a culvert that we could smooth that we had to replace, and, you know, they settle. And so we'll get that smoothed over. But in terms of the road, is fine. Structurally, the road is fine. It's just not black asphalt. I get it. Everybody wants a ribbon of black asphalt in front of the road. We tell them, for most chip seal roads, we're putting you in line. We're not going to, a good number of our roads will not be chipped over chip. That we will eventually asphalt over chip, but we're not promising you when because we don't want to make liars out of ourselves or misuse public money, you know, or make poor decisions. I mean, there's some roads that just probably are not candidates for asphalt, either due to the amount of road, bless you, traffic miles traveled on it. If it's in a secluded area, you're more likely going to get a chip road. And there's nothing wrong with it, particularly with some of the mixes we use. You have choices in the way you chip seal roads. Some of that is dependent upon the base. If you're in an area, like some of the south parts of the county where you got 20 feet of topsoil, if you're very close to the river, that's how much topsoil you got, unless you're on a ridge. Well, that's harder. That's more difficult, I should say, to just keep chipping. And it's hard enough with asphalt. But we'll get you a list of what we've got this year. Tom will get it to you. He may even have it on him. We're always able to maybe call an audible if we're in an area. If we are in an area, we don't like to go back and forth with our contractors. It costs us more money. And so if a road is marginal, we may hit a road that otherwise, but for the fact that we were there this year, we wouldn't have otherwise done this year. But there are limits, right? I mean, we simply cannot pave 200 miles in one area of the county. We just don't have enough money to do that. Makes tough decisions. And my point to your question is, it's a little bit of, you know, we're trying to do the right thing. There's a little bit of feel and science. And our folks who know road surfaces and how long they'll last, and just common sense, you know, that road's not quite ready for it. Or, you know what, we missed this road, and we really need to do that this year. We're not afraid to call audibles, and we'll explain what we're doing. It's sometimes not fun, but that's what we sign up for. It's a road system. And we don't have unlimited funds or time or weather or contractor availability. So, but anyway, having said that, within earshot of everyone, does anybody have any questions on that? And we'd certainly take guidance from you guys. You know, we can't be everywhere at once. If you know of a road that you think we've missed, we're happy to explain it to you.
Your Honor, I will say if we publish the list and it doesn't get paved that year, they will call you and call you and call. And it may be several months before they're able to pave again because of weather. If the temperature's not above 40 degrees and they're not laying asphalt and then we have a wet spring, it could be a long time before they even get back into that area. So, you know, just let them know that.
And we're also subject, I mean, the elephant in the room is RDOT. That's where, you know, our contractor, but any contractors with state business, if they're having to pull off of other jobs to do other RDOT jobs that they are bound to do with RDOT, they're giving RDOT priority over all the rest of the local governments, not just us or even our county in the several county area. We're using the same resources that RDOT in this region uses, and in some cases outside of our region. But so if you'd get with Tom afterwards. But that was pretty observant by you to notice that list was there and is not there right now. Literally last week or the week before we took that down because it was a stale list. We just literally didn't have anybody assigned to update that. And I don't know how old it was. But we don't want to give the impression that we're not doing work. So, yeah, there you go. Any other questions? I think that's worthwhile discussion, and thank you for the question. But that's what we deal with. And if any of you, as representatives of people out there, if they come to you with a road, give it due diligence and call me or call Tom. You're free to call Tom. We don't say that about all employees. That would be inappropriate for one branch to be, you know, reaching out to all these employees. I think the sheriff probably feels the same, Margaret Scott. We're generally going to make them available to you. In terms of roads, there's a reason Tom's an administrator, and feel free to call him. And we'll get you an answer. And we're not perfect. We could have missed roads. It's a big county. One of the reasons we score our roads every on a three-year cycle, if not sooner, with road condition scoring, so that we're not, you know, so people don't think we're just brother-in-law or we got a friend over in this area or something. So we think long. We think in long term, and we know that'll pay dividends in the end. Any other questions or comments? Thank you for your report. County Administrator Report, Randy Higgins. Administrator Higgins.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll give an update on the jail. Jail plans are 100% complete. I think my last report, they were at 60%. We did a review of the 60% plans. We can make adjustments. They made those adjustments. We went to 100% plans. The 100% plans were sent to the Sheriff's Office for he and his staff to do a review to make adjustments, modifications. They did their review, sent them back to the architect. And then the plans are sent to Navholtz on Monday this week to do their pre-bid review of the 100% plans with the Sheriff's Office suggestions and edits. Let's see. We anticipate they will go out for bid in early August, and we're targeting for a groundbreaking in October. The update for the jail. They did moving along very quickly. I transition over to the courthouse. Courthouse is about 85% complete. I sent a memo out today. I'm just going to go ahead and kind of go through my memo that I sent out to the judge's staff, some of the elected officials. Just kind of give you an update of where we are specifically. The arch window for courtroom A and B. These are the big, beautiful windows in front. In fact, there are 10 of them. We're originally scheduled to ship in early to mid-July. The ship date has been pushed out to August 4th. Shipped, it'll take a week or so for the installation after they arrive. So we're probably looking somewhere around mid-August, the end of August, before the arch window will install. The audio-visual system, that's the sound system, the new screen thing going in, scheduled to be installed in late July. The drapes for those 10 windows are in production. Matter of fact, I had a couple of calls with the vendor this afternoon on my way here. They anticipate to be installed in late August. So we're on track with those. We have a supply issue with the stair treads. So we have, we're putting new stair treads going up the stairways. We were short shipped 25 of the stair treads. The manufacturer, in the meantime, is doing a relocation of their plant. Let's see. Suppliers representative said that we could expect for them to be here towards the end of this month on those. So anyway, we're using them with missing stair treads at this point. The end result of this is initially I anticipated we would be in the courtroom for September 4th court meeting. I'm pushing that out to October. So we'll be here for August and for September. And short of anything else developing I'm not aware of, we'll be back over there in October. Any questions about those projects?
Mr. Higgins, if you would step back to the microphone, I understand tomorrow is your birthday.
It is.
On three, happy birthday, Randy Higgins. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Randy Higgins.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And then, 37, is that what it was? Just a comment. This is really geared toward decorum court, our justices. You know, when I started this term, one of the things I did was come to you guys and say the structure of the county judge's administration is really not adequate going forward. It's really looked more like 1970 than 2025, and that's not throwing anyone under the bus, including my former administration. It's just, you know, at some point you realize we have to adapt and we have to be prepared to meet what our citizens expect out of their government in 2025. I mean, it's Faulkner County, it's a lot of commerce, growth, education, and all the above. I asked you to do a number of things, but one thing in particular was that you would create two administrator positions. So we had a county administrator position, which Tom Anderson did a great job with for years. Matter of fact, we hired him when I was here 10 years ago. 11 now, I guess. And but to bring on an ARP / road administrator position. And I just wanted to give you a brief update after you heard these gentlemen give an update over the last several months and then today. But if you are not impressed when you stop and say, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, it wasn't always this way. Stop and think about all that those gentlemen are responsible for and all that they are making happen. And you've essentially got three county judges or two people doing the work of a county judge in addition to me. And I'm not playing tiddlywinks, I assure you. And so I continue to be impressed with each of them individually, and I hope you are, but neither of them goes to shuffling when I walk into their office and trying to act busy and be nervous. Neither of them needs me looking over their shoulder. I don't have to go. They're not without the personal confidence, which you've given them at my request, to manage the projects that they manage that I could not do alone. I could not do that, or we would be falling short. And the good news about that is we are cranking out. This is a high achievement local government, and I don't care which state you go in. I'm familiar with local governments across. I just got back from the National Association of Counties. I'm familiar with local governments everywhere of all sizes. And no one out-achieves Faulkner County in the things that we are doing, not just in my administration, but you look at the stars in their professions around our county, and I'm looking at them. Neither one of them are looking up. We compare very favorably government-wise and resources-wise with any county in America. And just go ask someone. You can ask Chris. He's our QC representative. You can ask Justice Kendrick the same thing. I'm sure he'll tell you the same thing when he looks out across the landscape and sees. And for my administration, the things that a county judge is responsible for, it starts with these two gentlemen right here. And daily, they are high achievers, and it works exactly like I asked you to trust me on, and you bought in. And I appreciate that, because it really is working. And I thought it appropriate, and it occurred to me earlier today, man, seeing, you know, Randy wrestle with grant administrators and Tom wrestle with bridges and ARP and road questions. You know, I thought, man, I've got to slow down for just a second and appreciate the moment, but I'm going to wait to do it with them in front of you because you made it possible. You created the position and you funded it and you trusted me, and I appreciate that. But I want you to know your decisions in doing that were great. You know where I'm at on growing government. I don't want to do that. But at the same time, we are not a place without government. And I think you found a good balance between, hey, yeah, this is worthy of public expenditure. And I think you gave it the due diligence and you made it happen. And it's not something I take lightly, but it's not something each of you also take lightly. I know you. You're conscientious in what you do. But those decisions mattered. It was not, could I get that idea over the finish line with you guys and then bebop through the posies for the next few years, never to bring your attention back to that? That worked. And you and everyone associated with that are to be commended. Certainly those two guys are to be commended, as well as their employees and staff. But of all the tough decisions that you have before you along the way, you know, you really should stop to see what's working, what's not, and that's working. That's working. I appreciate it. Appreciate each of them individually. They grab the reins and they, you know, even when they're having a tough day, and I know that they're having a tough challenge, I'll be visible, just visible enough to say, hey, without saying it, you need me to step in and take some of this, or what you got going. I'll set aside whatever I'm doing and want them to know that. And they never say yes. They never look overwhelmed. They're really good at what they do. We're just lucky to have them while we got them. Any questions or comments on that? Thank you again. Moving along, next item on the agenda is committee reports, and as always, we'll start at my right, Justice Knight, and the Infrastructure Committee.
Thank you, Judge. Infrastructure met last week, and we had two items for discussion. One of them is a resolution we're going to bring forth tonight. That is Resolution 2509, the Baker Willis Parkway grant that you will see here in a minute. The other was an update from Tom on the road shop. I know it's been a while since that burned, and we've not heard a lot of updates, but we got some good dates, and the most important one is probably the October date of hopefully breaking ground on the new shop. So I don't know, that could move, but look forward to that and moving forward with the road shop there. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much. And I will say on that, and Tom, do you have anything to add to that? I will say things that are not visible that you're probably entitled to know. We have been, and I will just say I have personally been very, I have used Faulkner County standards in terms of cost containment, and are we building what each of us in this room thinks we ought to build? And are we contemplating adequately or too much for the future? And is this a facility that each one of you sitting here would be proud of, not only to have, but also knowing you didn't overbuild, you didn't overspend? And those are not easy questions. I mean, we weren't born with an instruction manual. None of us, Tom, me, none of us were born with an instruction manual on how to replace a 50-year, 30-year building. You know, and we're planning for 50 years. So we've built in some growth with that facility, and we have been, I've been hard on both the construction manager and the architect and all of the lines of engineers. We've got great relationships with them, and we've not been unreasonable with them at all, but we challenged them. And we want you to be happy with the money we spend on the facility, the functionality of the facility, the flexibility going forward. We don't ever want to be. We have a chance to visit this, and we don't ever want to find ourselves in a position that we were in before with a facility that was not designed to be a road and fleet maintenance facility and having to use it. From an employability standpoint for our employees, from serving this really good road system we've got, that's going to continue to be weighed upon by massive growth that's going to continue. And so it's our job to please you. It's our job to please our public. And it's our job to, even if a decision is tough or we'd like to have this bell or whistle or, golly, if we cut any more off, I mean, what are we paying for? So I think I'm happy with where we're at, but it is not without having challenged folks to get us here. There's been a lot going on. There's been no period with lack of progress on it. And it's actually a good time for you guys to be updated. We're excited. I'm happy with it. Look forward. And I'm excited for you guys to be excited about it. Any other questions on that? Thank you for your committee report. Courts and Public Safety, Justice Coates.
Thank you, sir. Courts and Public Safety did meet this last week. We have one proposed resolution in front of the court tonight, proposed resolution 2508, which is the public safety telecom. What that does is it is just a resolution that pushes our dispatchers up to a first responder level on a state and federal level. So just recognizing them. And I also did a tour of the dispatch center this last week. If you have not been, I highly recommend going. It is amazing what the employees there do and take care of, and even the technology that's available right at their fingertips. So if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do so.
Thank you for the update. And next we have the Budget Committee. Who is standing in for Justice Lahosky? Justice Moss, step up.
Yes, Your Honor. It looks like we've got three, one standard appropriation, and looks like we've got the grant for the courthouse and museum as well.
Very good. Thank you. And next we'll go to personnel. Justice Kendrick.
Thank you, Judge. Personnel met. We considered one ordinance for OEM employee salaries, and that was forwarded to Budget and Finance for consideration. Thank you, Judge.
Excellent. Thank you for those committee reports. Next, we have on our agenda public comments. Anybody? We've got three members of the public here. Any comments on anything before the court today? It has to be an agenda item, but this is public comment. Thank you so much. I see no takers. Next, we have special reports. Are there any special reports? Okay, seeing none. Old business, tab number three. Justice Coates? Or is this? No, this would be Justice Strain.
Judge, I'd like to bring 2519 to the table for discussion. This will be the second reading.
Second.
And that's tab number three. So we've got a motion second. Could we have the what will be second reading, Counselor?
Proposed ordinance 25-19, sponsored by Justice Strain, be enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance be entitled an ordinance to approve the filing of an application by Polarm Station Incorporated for a private club to be located at 941 Highway 365, Mayflower, Faulkner County, Arkansas, and to declare an emergency. Excuse me, that was deleted. The and to declare an emergency should not be part of that.
Okay.
And, Judge, just for further clarification, I believe Counselor Section 4 should be cleaned up, too, because it still mentions an emergency.
Yep, that's correct. I've already sent the updated version to Margaret.
Thank you, sir.
I apologize for that.
Get that cleaned up. Any questions on that? Any further business on that as a second reading? Any further discussion?
Judge, we have Robin Jones, Rusty Waters, and Tim Smith and in the audience. They're the ones that are going to run the restaurant. I think everybody here is, most everyone here has heard their presentation. I don't know if you guys necessarily want to discuss it again tonight. But I would like to say that, at least from where I sit, I think that there's more here than just a liquor license. I think we have, this is kind of an economic growth issue to me also, as that I've been very concerned from day one about economic growth in our county. And, you know, there's a tendency by a lot of states, counties, municipalities to try to bring in big corporations from out of town. And normally what they do is they come in and they clear a piece of property, build a new building. A lot of the money that they generate goes out of state. I think we've had some very successful businesses in Arkansas. We've had Tyson Foods, ABF. We've had J.B. Hunt. I think he started in Stuttgart. We had FedEx started here. And I'm just, it's real important to me to try to give the entrepreneurs that we have in our county the support they need to build those corporations right here to be successful with the people that live here, not just bring people in from out of state. I think that this group of people live in the area, and they are doing that very thing. They own property. That's her home down there, and there's a lot of potential in that area. Mayflower has kind of been bypassed by growth. I mean, we've got Maumelle on one side, and it just went right over Mayflower and went right up to Conway, and Conway is still growing, very successful, and that's what Rusty and Robin and Tim are trying to compete with, is that and Maumelle. So I think it's my opinion that we need to try to support them, not just for the economic growth in Mayflower, but I mean, the people there do want a nice restaurant. I think they deserve a nice restaurant. They shouldn't have to drive to Conway or to Maumelle to get a nice meal and a drink with their meal. So I support this. I think the people in that area want it. And, you know, I know we weren't responsible for the 64 liquor license that exists in Conway, but that's a situation that they have to compete with. So, you know, when I grew up, if I could, you know, my parents and my uncles were all in World War II, and they all had that attitude that, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, you know, and you're supposed to be able to hold your liquor and all that kind of thing. And we've seen a lot of lives destroyed from that kind of a philosophy. And I think we have an opportunity here. It's not just giving a liquor license, but kind of to make us, we're setting a standard for the county and say, you know, because it's already been set in Conway and some of the other communities, but we have the opportunity to set a standard that this is what we're going to allow in the county. So I know there's the concern that the floodgates will be open and a whole bunch of people are going to come in and demand a liquor license, but I think we're setting the standard saying, you know, what is acceptable use of alcohol in this county is to sit down and have a drink with your meal, not to go to the honky-tonk and get bombed out and then get on the highway and injure somebody. And that's what Rusty and Robin and Tim are trying to accomplish. They want a nice restaurant, but they want to be able to compete also. The other thing that they are using their resources to restore a historic site that, like, I feel like that if anybody else would have done the same kind of development in that area, they probably would have torn the building down, and that would have been lost forever. I've seen that happen a lot around the country. So anyway, I hope that you guys will support this. Our economy in Mayflower, I think, needs it, and I think it will assist in the growth along that corridor all the way up between Maumelle and all the way up to Conway. So I appreciate your help with that. Would you guys have any comments you'd like to make? Would anybody like to hear from them, from our entrepreneurs that we have here? This is Rusty Waters.
Any questions, Mr. Waters?
I don't have any questions. I just have a comment. I understand you gave a presentation at last month's meeting. Is that correct? Yep. I was unable to be here in person, but from what I understand, I just want you all to know that you generally have my support on the issue, barring any unforeseen circumstances or constituent feedback. But since I wasn't able to address you at last month's meeting, I just want to let you know where I stand publicly on the issue. I would like to see the issue be more widespread. I think we live in the 21st century, and I think that dry counties are repressive and defraud people of their liberty. And I encourage you guys to pursue this course of action and want you to know that I support you.
Further questions, comments? Thank you, Mr. Waters. Seeing no further comments, we will move along to new business. Tab number 4, proposed ordinance 25-20, it's appropriation ordinance. And Justice Moss, if you could brief us a little bit on this.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 25-20 on the table for discussion.
Second. Motion second. Let's go ahead and have a reading, if you would.
Proposed ordinance 25-20, be enacted by the
Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
All right, now could we have a brief?
Right, looks like we've just got an appropriation for the SHSGP grant fund. is there anybody here that can speak to this?
It's basically a reimbursement for the bomb squad that has to go through OEM to get their grants.
Right. Thank you, ma'am.
It's my understanding this is it's all been approved. This is just the flow of funding. Is that incorrect, Margaret?
That's a reimbursement. They've already spent the money, and now they're being reimbursed. So they submitted receipts, and now the grant's reimbursable for what they spent.
Very good. Murphy, do we need an amendment? Clean up clerical error.
Y'all can move on, and I'll save the original that was sent to me to see if a number's gone missing out there. Give me a minute. I mean, y'all can keep moving, and I'll come back to it.
Any discussion on it? While we give them a little grace, any questions? All right, I'll entertain a motion to table this. We'll circle back to it.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so 25-20 is tabled.
Kendrick made the motion. I seconded it.
All right, moving along, we'll come back to that. But tab number 5, proposed ordinance 25-21, OEM, employee salaries.
Judge, motion to put 25-21 on the table for discussion.
Second. Justice Kendrick, Justice Knight. Okay, so motion and second. Can we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-21, sponsored by Justice Lahosky, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52 and to declare an emergency.
Very good. Who is most suited to be able to brief the court on that? Is that going to be Randy?
Yeah, let me pitch it, Judge, and then we'll let Mr. Higgins give. So, Judge, this was considered before personnel and forwarded to Budget and Finance, and I believe it was passed out of Budget and Finance as well. But this is realigning some of the OEM positions due to the 911 PSAP funding and realignment. These aren't truly new positions, I believe, that we're taking on. And Mr. Higgins did a great job explaining it. If we could get just a high-level overview again real quick of a synopsis of this ordinance and what it's doing real quick.
Salaries from the road department, and that's how we had done it, is 50% towards the salary. The legislative audit really requested that we apply 50% per employee that was pulling our road money. And so what we've done in the past is, county attorney, we would get that finding, probably with our finding over notes, and then we would say, yeah, we're doing it in the right spirit, the money's the same. And so this year, it came out again, and they kind of said, hey, you need to make this adjustment. We decided to just fix it. So that's what we're doing today. Fixing it, so instead of the money the same, instead of being aggregate over all of them, it's 50% individual the ones that they apply. Did I cover that question correct? Secondarily, we have known that when we went through the combined communication center that we're no longer doing most of the 911 PSAP work, so that money that we were receiving would then be forwarded to the 911 PSAP communication group. So that money is no longer there to help fund some of the duties that we reflect on doing out of OEM. And so as part of that, we've actually downsized our OEM by 25%. Our headcount has gone from 4 to 3. And so we're moving that money over to the 911 PSAT group. And that pretty much explains what we're doing. It's a shuffling of the ramp so that we can meet the legislative auditing requirements.
Yep. Any questions? All right. Is this an appropriation ordinance requiring none? Emergency. Okay. Roll call vote, please, Madam Secretary.
Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky. Lyon. Meeks.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorgi. Not here.
Okay, 9 votes. Motion carries. And the ordinance passes. Tab number 6, proposed resolution 25-08, Public Safety Telecom. Justice Coates briefed us on it a little bit. What is your pleasure?
I'd like to make a motion to put resolution 2508 on the table for discussion.
Second.
Motion second. Reading, please.
Proposed resolution 25-08, sponsored by Mary Coates. Resolution recognizing public safety telecommunicators and first responders who serve all of Faulkner County, Arkansas, and to support their designation as first responders at the state and federal levels.
Justice Coates.
Again, I'll explain a little bit about what this is. It just raises the awareness and creates the designation, I guess is the right word, that our dispatchers are recognized at on the state and federal level as first responders. Mm.
Thank you. Any questions? Any comments? Justice Meeks.
Thank you, Judge. I also was able to take a tour of the OEM. Thank you, Randy, for helping to set that up. And very impressed by the personnel, the caliber that we have in there. But just being able, I mean, they got like 8 screens going at one time, and they were just flipping through them and doing everything efficiently. The technology is cutting edge, so that's something that we can be proud of. But again, just the caliber of people that we have working there and how seriously they take their job, you know, something that all of Faulkner County can be proud of.
I agree wholeheartedly. Further questions or comments? Okay, it's a resolution. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution passes in deserved fashion. Tab number 7, proposed resolution 25-09, Baker Wills Parkway. That should be Wills Parkway, STBG grant, Surface Transportation Block grant. What's your pleasure?
Yes, Your Honor, I move that we pass resolution 2509.
Second.
Motion and second. Can we have a reading, please?
Faulkner County Quorum Court proposed resolution 25-09. Be it resolved by the Quorum Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, a resolution expressing the willingness of Faulkner County to utilize Federal Aid Transportation Program funds for the Surface Transportation Block Grant, STBG, and Carbon Reduction Program, CRP.
Justice.
Thanks, Your Honor. Last week we discussed this in the Infrastructure Committee, and if Road Administrator Tom Anderson could come and speak to it in a little more depth than I can and just kind of lay it out, but it is a grant, federal matching grant, an 80-20 grant, and he can go in more depth to it.
Administrator Anderson.
Thank you, Your Honor. As you know, the Baker Wills exit was built several years ago. The idea was that's the first piece of a loop around Southwest Island. It kind of got stuck on the shelf, lack of funding, lack of interest, and kind of resurrected that interest. Mm-hmm. Before the interest waned, however, the environmental study, but it's been so long that we have to redo the study that's ongoing right now. Once that's complete, we can then validate the route that we're taking. And this grant that we're asking for will help
Thank you for that overview. Any questions for that? Just Smeeks.
So, I guess just clarification. So the $800,000 is total, or is what the county is going to have to commit to?
That will be it'll be $1 million estimated in engineering.
Okay.
So we're asking for $800,000 of it. We'll commit.
And is the city of Conway, because that's part of it, are they going to help out on any of this? Do you know?
There's construction too. Yes, they're okay. They're on board. They're for it. We're not going to have to get a load of all the fire stuff. In fact, we went to Washington on a trip earlier this year and met with our representatives up there and started working with the federal money, not just through the
Thank you.
Good question. Other question?
Is there anything in particular that has kind of reignited the spark of seeing this completed?
Conway doesn't have any other direction, really. They're bound by geography. So south and west, southwest is the best option they have. So this would help facilitate their growth.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
In addition, pay for it suggested.
Yes. Yep. Thank you.
Good question. And you know, I think to put it bluntly, if you ask Tom where is this coming from, he'll tell you probably the judge's office. But we told you guys we're going to do some master planning. Master plans did not exist. And, yeah, we don't need to be there, you know, going forward anyway in Faulkner County. One of the main ones we work on consumes a lot of Tom's time, my time. Even Phil and Randy some and our staff, but a road master plan. And part of that has to contemplate the regional impact of the road system. And there is no future in Faulkner County that doesn't exist without better ways of getting around and managing the growth that we have. And that really begins and ends with the Baker Wills bypass or the Conway Loop. You can think of it as a larger project, and that's everything from the West Conway Quadrant, which is what Baker Wills was intended to serve with that interchange, the half the interchange that's there, serving West Conway. But that will go through Hogan all the way to 40 with a new interchange to 40 at some point. It will also come around the east side, which is largely underserved. There's no quick way to get from the eastern parts of Conway or the east side of I-40 to Little Rock or even to Sam's or over to Walmart North. You have to jam your way down Oak Street or find your way over. If you know the secret passage route of Rooster, you can actually make it pretty quickly. Just don't speed on Darty Hill or the sheriff will be out there to visit with you. But when you stop and think of that, there is zero broad network regionally. And Conway doesn't operate within a vacuum. You know, a lot of people live outside of Conway and shop and eat in Conway, send their kids to school inside city limits while they live outside city limits. The school district goes outside of city limits. People in Valonia want to go to Sam's Club. On and on and on, and we've got no way to manage that. Imagine you live in Mount Vernon and you work in Little Rock. Or you're going to some place in Little Rock that we don't have in Conway. Man, you know the drill. Are you going to go down Oak Street? Are you going to zip over somehow and get over to the RDOT roundabouts on Dave Ward? And so we have to master plan that. We have to drive that. A major problem with that project, Justice Pearson, really this is for you, is that it does not involve a state highway. And getting any state highway department to build a new state highway is exceptionally difficult. And so that's why we engaged our federal delegates, our, you know, Senator Bozeman, Senator Cotton, Senator Hill, Congressman Hill, Congressman Rick Crawford, who's the number two in the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. These are efforts we make. Lots of efforts at building those relationships, helping them to understand. Our commissioner, Marie Holder, out the immediate past, RDOT Director Lori Tudor. the new director, Jared Wiley. He's not new now, but the current RDOT director. These are people we know on a face-to-face basis because of the Baker Wheels or the Conway Loop. And if it's going to happen in 20 years, it has to be having a foundation being laid now. If we're going to get a segment done within 10 years, we have to be working on that in addition to Tom's ARP duties, his road duties, my duties. So we put a lot of effort into that. And it's just one part of our county master plan. Interestingly enough, the modeling shows that the greatest need right now outside of the Baker Wheels, maybe even including Baker Wheels, is from 64 east to 65 north. So if you have people, somebody raise their hand and tell me how, if you're leaving Bologna and you want to go to Greenbrier, what are your options? Justice Knight. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're driving an 18-wheeler from 67-167 in BB, what are your options to go to Greenbrier or Marshall or St. Louis from Bologna or from BB? BB, you're probably going to take 67 and not come through our county. Not sure we want that. So say you were leaving, I'll pick an auto store on Oak Street near Sonic. And you're a parts run going to St. Louis or you're coming back here. That's just one example. So there really is no clear way to kind of get through there. We saw the city deal with it, I think in a good way, at the bottom of Skyline Drive in that intersection at the foot of that. So they've routed that through to use that light because it was an extreme safety hazard. Fatalities, bad accidents. So in our lifetimes, we hope to see that there's a Conway Loop segment that goes from 64 east to 65 north and completes that loop. Tom alluded to growth. Where is Conway going to grow? And so you try to predict where's the traffic need at. We're not here to prop up developers, and we're not going to do that. But if we try to predict where are they building, where do they continue to build, you'll see us not ignoring those areas. They'll tear our roads, our county roads up, unless we build them to spec. Justice Meeks.
Thank you, Judge. I guess follow-up question is this. Do we anticipate the study going up Sturgis to the Conway? Because I believe originally Baker Wheels was supposed to connect to the Conway Technology Park. Is that still the case? Or are you talking about going west toward Round Mountain and that way?
We go west toward Old Military to come out where the new school on Old Military is built, going out somewhere south there.
Talk Carolyn Lewis. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Good question. There have been some city annexations from there toward where Sturgis ends and the bypass begins. But, yeah, there's no specific location yet. I mean, that's part of what these studies in Federal Highway and RDOT would all require and the myriad of federal agencies. So we'll see how that goes. And that's all part of the foundation of any major road work, not dissimilar to any of the other major road work you've seen done around the state. We just do not like seeing 1 mile of the Baker Wheels built, including the expense of an interstate interchange, and 18-wheelers being dumped off on county roads that all of our families drive on and share. And it's just not right. It's not right. And we're going to do our part, move the ball down the field. We'll make all the progress we can. I promise you. And, we're not trying to accommodate the traffic of today. We're trying to accommodate traffic of 20 years from now. And there's going to be some Dave Ward work. RDOT's got a project happening right now just to increase capacity on Dave Ward and Conway. But I can't speak to that. It's not a county project. Questions or comments? Thank you, Tom. Tab number 8, proposed resolution 25-10. We didn't vote for that resolution. All right. Any further discussion? All in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution passes. I understand we are ready with the corrections for 25-20.
Motion to put 25-20 back on the table.
Second. Motion and second. Margaret, would you like to either you or Phil guide the corrections?
So which section is that?
Section 1.
Okay. Motion to amend section 1 to what was previously just stated.
Did we have a second?
Yep.
Okay, motion second. Any discussion on that?
Can you read that? It one more time?
I'll be happy to read it. Yep. It's section 1. It'll stay the same. $228,726.94 is anticipated, projected in Homeland Security SHSGP Grant Fund 3403. And I'm just going to go ahead and skip down to the individual sections. It's going to remain $6,391.60, 1,005 overtime. It's going to remain $10,701.25 for 2002 small equipment. It's going to remain $4,498.94. For section 3009, other professional services, it's going to remain $1,770.46 for travel. It's going to remain $44,292.78 for meals and lodging. It will change to reflect $161,071.91 for category 4004, machinery and equipment.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Tab number 8, proposed resolution 25-10. Did we vote? The amendment. Okay. All right. So tab number 4, as amended, we are back to the motion in main. Any discussion on that?
Can we get an explanation for sections 3 and 4? Have we discussed that? Appropriations, $70,000 and $80,000.
Yes, sir, Justice Pearson. So what that is, we are on track for the courthouse renovation as far as the ARP funding. What we did not include in the funding was an upgrade to the sound system. I went back through and saw found a ordinance that we had discussed and tabled at the time for an increase in the improvement in the sound system.
Mm-hmm.
We decided we would take this opportunity for that. That's part of it. That is actually about $36,000. I think we had originally appropriated about $35,000 in the original discussion. Secondarily, furniture was not included. We thought that we were going to be able to retrofit like the pews and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. When we had to pull all those out to redo the floor and put the carpet in, they fell apart. Literally started crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Wilberto shop with them. They're providing us a cost plus 10 price, and they're donating some furniture, so significant savings there. That's part of it. And then lastly, we decided that we would remove the judge's desk here thing, and we have built you guys a form court desk for that room. So that will cover all of that. That actually adds up to about $135,000. There are a couple of unknowns that we're working on right now that were not included, the last one being drapes.
Mm-hmm.
We have approval note. I have a budget price. I don't have the final price. I think this will cover that as well. So these are the above and beyond things that we took out of the bid price because we were over budget. a day RP median time. I'll just remind you, that price originally came in at $1.6 million. I have a little under $1 million budget. We've trimmed $600,000. This is just a claw back about $150,000.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Higgins.
Further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Appropriation. Roll call vote, please. This is 25-20.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. 25-20 passes. Counselor, where are we? Tab number 8. Proposed resolution 25-10, RCAG grant for the courthouse.
Second.
We have a reading, please.
Resolution 25-10, be it resolved by the Quorum Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, a resolution authorizing the county judge to apply for an Arkansas Community Assistance Grant on behalf of Faulkner County.
Any explanation?
Yes, Your Honor. So with this, I'd like to take a bigger approach and honestly look at tab 9 as well. This goes back to several months ago. The museum board came and presented their
I feel like it's really hot. The museum board came in and showed us their master plan of how they would like to do a lot of renovations. And the hurdle for us was they were looking at quite a bit of money, and that was going to have to come out of County General. So we discussed it a time or two in committee, and then we kind of just tabled it for a while because I was in discussions with Administrator Higgins, and last month he came to me and said that, hey, I've got this grant administrator that we're going to be looking at, and we might be able to get this money for this for the museum and for the courthouse, and it not cost us hardly any money. And so with that, I'd like for him to come and speak to that and kind of go through both of these if he can.
So I will do that. Let me go ahead. I have an updated 25-11. Your Honor, it's okay if we talk about both of these at the same time?
Sure.
So 25-11 in your books, the numbers are blank. So this will help with the discussion. Margaret, I have an electronic copy to send to you in the morning.
What time did you finish that one, Randy?
I printed these off at 3:55. Justin Knight asked me to back up a little bit and talk about the grant writing position that Quorum Court approved for us in the budget for 2025. And so we appropriated the money and with the personnel committee created a new position. So in January, I started working on that position, doing some research on it, writing a job description for a grant writer slash administrator. There is a difference between the two. I'll freely admit, grants are new to me. In the first year of Judge Dodson's administration, I applied for a grant from the Arkansas Supreme Court for about $20,000. We ended up getting about $17,000. And when I got through with that grant, I said, I'll never do it again. It's outside of my wheelhouse. But this was something the Quorum Court and tasked us with that the Judge's office had requested. So did the research on that. Created a job description, started working on, that was in January, early February, late February, we started talking about posting it, we posted it, received applications. To get it down to the point, about April, I walked into the judge's office and said, this is not working. This is not the direction that I thought I wanted to go. In November and December, when we were talking to you, I thought I had a vision of where we wanted to go, which is going to hire a grant writer, and they're going to handle everything. Well, it doesn't really work that way. So we backed off with the judge's permission. We started looking at grant writing and administrative contractors. to see what some advantages and disadvantages may be. During all this process, I was reaching out to other counties, to other cities, to other organizations that aren't even government to see how they're handling their grants. And so through that research, I was able to come across a couple of contractors. We met one of them at a county judges association, started developing a dialogue and relationship. And what Judge Dodson and I finally decided to do is not utilize the appropriation and the new position, put that on the shelf for the time, and to use some funding out of the judge's office, out of professional services, and we went into contract with a grant contractor and advisor. As a result of that, we started doing that in June and then into July. So we're developing this portfolio for Faulkner County, and part of it, I meet with them every week. Every Wednesday, I have a Zoom call with them, and we talk about opportunities. And so they have this list of opportunities. It's pretty exhaustive. It's like getting a drink of water out of a fire hydrant first. And I go through and they say, what about this opportunity? No, I'm not interested in that. What about this opportunity? I don't think we're ready for that. And then we work this opportunity down to like a top 10. And so they ask me, what are you looking at? So we knew that we were looking at things for the museum. That was a priority. I knew that we did not get everything that we wanted in the courthouse renovation. The entire basement, we took it completely out of the project, and there's problems in the basement of the courthouse that needs to be addressed. And so I just kind of threw that on the list. Well, as it turned out, in the ensuing weeks, they came back to me with opportunities. This is one of those opportunities. The catch to it is the deadline on it for this year is July the 31st. So I went into the judge's office like, wow, we've got two options on these two opportunities. One is, it's too hard, we can't do it, and walk away from it for maybe next year. And the other is, let's roll up our sleeves and let's see what we can do to take advantage of this and fix a couple of our problems. So these are somewhat test cases for me specifically. There are needs that we have, one of them being the museum. So that would be Resolution 2511. There are a lot of requirements that they're asking. They're looking for deeds to the properties. Y'all know how hard it is to find a deed on a piece of property that came to us in 1873? We found it today, believe it or not. So I handed it to the assessor staff and the circuit clerk staff. We asked questions around that information. There are other information. A part of it is they need a resolution on both of these projects. The courthouse basement is not the entire basement. It's mainly the restroom area and some of the plumbing. We're asking for, we think the project will be about $150,000. I think it's going to be less than that, and these are 80-20 matches. So it's 80% paid for by the grant. We'll have to pay for the other 20%. I'm not asking for money from you guys. What I'm doing is your approval to pursue these grants. We'll go through and do all the due diligence, try to have it ready, apply for it, and then if we actually get the grant, I'll have to come to you guys with my hat in my hand and say, I accidentally got these grants, and I'm going to need some matching money of 20% for those. I think, actually, the courthouse basement, we might be able to work that into the county judge's budget, our matching part of it, but the museum part of it, in reference, they're looking at a project of about $762,000 and some change. Part of the grant is it has to do with cash and services in hand. And if you'll recall, NABHOLT has already provided the design and everything and donated that. So we reached out to NABHOLT to evaluate what that would have cost had we had to pay for it, or the museum had to pay for it. They put that in letterhead, and that's going to actually count towards cash in hand towards the grant. So that's where we are with applying these two. I'm asking for a resolution for approval from the Quorum Court to pursue these two grants.
Thank you for that explanation. Any questions for Randy? Any discussion? We're still on tab 8, proposed resolution 25-10. First of two. All right, all in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Proposed resolution 25-10 passes. 25-11.
Make a motion we pass 25-11.
Second.
Okay, motion second. We have reading, please.
Resolution 25-11, be it resolved by the Quorum Court of the County of Jefferson,
County, State of Arkansas, a resolution authorizing the county judge to apply for an Arkansas Community Assistance Grant on behalf of Faulkner County.
Justice Knight?
Yes, Your Honor. So as we discussed a minute ago, this is the $762,000 request that will be going for the grant, which really saves county taxpayers with in being able to renovate the museum that we've discussed in the past several months and utilizing Nabholz that they presented to us those couple months ago. So yeah, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
I'll add, Your Honor, that we have been on Zoom calls, not only with me, but the museum board. Reached out to them and told them that this was an opportunity. It was fast-paced. I need them to roll up their sleeves and get engaged, and they did. So I got to hand it to the museum board for really engaging and helping, because getting a lot of the numbers that I was meeting on this one while I was working on the other one.
It's only fair to say, you know, for all our viewers online, maybe some of our public here tonight, this is not happening in a bubble. You know, there were requests of you as a body to go fund the museum, and problem X, Y, and Z, structurally and otherwise. And it's a building that we have. The solution that we found is going after grant money. And so you were not asked to put in $782,000 of county general money, take that funding from somewhere else for the operation of a third-party run museum of a county-owned facility, and then contents. So, museum contents. And so, that shouldn't be lost on this situation. I think this is a responsible approach. Who knows if the grant will be, you know, the application will be successful, but, I mean, that's the hope here. So, any further discussion? Justice Meeks.
Thank you, Judge. Please forgive my ignorance, but since the resolution that we have in the book here did not include the figures, are we going to have to do any kind of motion to amend the figures in? I know he handed out a new flyer, but I don't know, does that require us to?
So we'll ask, who made the motion? Justice Knight, were you talking about the version?
I was looking at the version that he handed out.
Very, very good. Is that what's, who seconded it? All right, so the motion is
on this, what we were
handed.
Thank you, Judge, for that clarification.
Pointing that out just to make sure we're following the requirements. So further questions?
Just one question before we close for discussion. Administrator Higgins, were there any other potential grant opportunities or areas that might have been identified as possible to pursue in the future? And first, I want to say congratulations, and I know it's a lengthy endeavor, and I commend you and the judge's office in pursuing this for citizens of Faulkner County.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. So the answer is yes. It was interesting. These are the only two that I needed formal court permission on because of the deadline. As a matter of fact, when the conference call with the museum, there are additional museum grant opportunities that you have to understand the contractor, the advisor, they work for the judge's office. So they asked. We think we have some other museum. Is it okay that we talk to them about that on the call? And absolutely. So there's some grants potentially for helping with displays inside. Well, that's not really what we have been discussing about. But yes, if there's a grant opportunity to help them with to enhance their ability to be able to display some of the things that they have. There are some other museum grants. There are also some other grants that we're looking at that have nothing to do with this, but their deadlines are later in the year, and mm-hmm. we're working on those. So the decision that we made with the grant contractor was, let's focus on these because the deadline is so quick, and the turnaround is so quick, and the opportunity is there. But I think here's the next one that we're looking at. This one will help with the basement. We have an entire third floor in the courthouse. So in the ARP renovation that we're doing, there are five offices that were currently not being used that will have five additional offices. I have 17 requests for those offices. The word leaked out that I may have some spare space, and so people are coming in. But there's an entire third floor that's mainly empty. And so that may be an additional grant that we look at to see if we can't do something for that one. So we've identified some that we're looking at. They're kind of on the shelf. There's a deadline like October, November. So good question, but
I have a top 10 that just real quickly. We're visiting with the emergency squad.
Yeah.
They are looking for a facility. We displaced them from the fire, so they have some of their equipment that's sitting under sheds relatively out in the open. If that equipment has been under lock and key in the past, we're trying to work with them to see if there's grant money available for the emergency squad. I visited with the sheriff this morning about potential opportunities for grants that we can get the sheriff's in. I advised the sheriff that he has grant opportunities that we can use our advisor with to help them. We will do that as well.
Yep.
So this is really opening up an opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I'll say this with, we're not at this point hiring the grant administrator probably in 2025. I don't want to put it on the shelf, but my anticipation is, I'm speaking a little ahead of the judge here, but in 2026, we may have our grant program up enough that we will hire an in-house grant administrator to work with our contractor, and then I can back off and go back to my day job.
Right. No, that sounds fantastic. And you got to kind of the heart of my question is, I just want to know, I think the grants that you've identified are fantastic. They're valuable for the county. But just wanted to just kind of hear if you're, and I assume you were, but looking at infrastructure, emergency services, public safety, health, and things like that, and prioritizing those as well. So it sounds like you are, and again, really great news for Fulton County. Congratulations.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. That demonstrates your knowledge of kind of the landscape out there. And so we'll just be, transparent. This is not something we've had before. It's much like the animal shelter, the VSO growth, and all that. If we're going to break ground and have something that you guys and our public can be proud of, we don't need to make mistakes at it. And so we're cautiously developing our approach to that. You agreed to create that position and fund a grant administrator position, and we think probably what that evolves to is like what Randy described. That will be a liaison from inside county government proper, I suppose, to, at least in many cases, this grant administrator, which is a third party paid through by professional contracting funding, not unlike what we do with many other things around county business, the big operation of county government, in some cases. But all of it can't be known yet. And Randy's shouldering quite a bit of it right now. That third-party relationship has eased that burden on Randy. While we prepare that to be put on a platter, handed to an employee, a grant administrator, which would not be on par for quite a few years with an ARP and road administrator or county administrator at large, but probably, hey, I would not be disappointed if it does grow. I mean, we know there are grant opportunities out there. We know, you guys included, collectively, we all know there's so much available out there from a grant funding standpoint. If we don't go after it, then shame on us. And so this is part of our creeping toward that in a way that we think is healthy.
Your Honor, if I can add, I've actually had a chance to kind of catch my breath and follow up. There's a question about additional things, and I just mentioned the emergency squad and everything. But you're exactly right. VSO is on the short list. Animal shelter is on the short list. Road opportunities on the short list. Smaller projects, things like intersections and those kinds of things. That we're looking at. Also, infrastructure as far as energy efficiency in our buildings, it's on there too. So we've worked our best down to like the top 10. And then they have an additional secondary 10 that we kind of narrowed down to that should one of these come by that's not on our top 10, but it's low-hanging fruit, we can get a quick grant opportunity, we'll pursue those as well.
But Justice Pearson, as you no doubt know, the internal burden of just gathering that information, if we had an internal employee doing what the third-party grant administrator is doing for us right now on these selected grants, it's multifaceted what we have to do to provide all the information. I mean, just the gathering of the information, liaisoning over to Department X, Y, or Z to gather the information, package it up, and give it to that administrator, whether they're in-house or, like right now, a third-party administrator, just a grant administration firm. who's very good, by the way. We've been really impressed with them. And so you can see we're growing up in front of you as to how we manage our grant opportunities as Faulkner County within what you're responsible for, and then, you know, eventually maybe for the cities, farming that out for some of the smaller cities who in no way have the capability like a county would. And so all manner of, I mean, the fire service, it just goes on and on and on. So I'll stop there. But any questions for Mr. Higgins? Any further questions? All right. So we have a motion on the floor. Any further discussion? All in favor of passing proposed resolution 25-11 indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 25-11 passes. Moving on with our agenda, appointments. There are none this month. Announcements. Extension agent Mary Beth Gross could not be here due to a conflict, but she did want me to pass along the following. They had a great pork butt 4-H fundraiser. They sold 108 pork butts, smoked pork butts. They were great. I bought two, and they're fabulous. Try to catch that next year. All the justices are invited to the extension tour August 22nd, 8:30 a.m. to 12. And lunch will be provided. So if you want to write that down, again, that's the annual extension tour around the county. It's always interesting. August 22nd, 8:30 to noon, lunch will be provided. Any other announcements? All right, at 1 hour, 39 minutes in for the business of the entire month, that's not too bad. Compared to other counties and other cities, did some good business. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. We're adjourned.